Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Welcome to Wednesday's episode of the podcast. Thanks ever so much for downloading. It's August the 13th coming up. Shock figures show animal attacks are on the rise in Kent. The Dartford MP welcomes news North Kent College will train the next generation of construction workers. And hear from the Gillingham manager following their exit from the Carabao Cup. But first, a motorcyclist has died following a crash which closed a major road in Ashford. Lucy joins me now with more on this story. Lucy, incredibly sad. Can you tell us what happened?
Yes, so the crash was on Bad Monster Rifle Road, which is the A2070 and links the M20 with the Park Farm area of town. Emergency crews were called at around 9:45 last night to a section of the road close to Orbital Park. It's reported the man who was riding a blue Kawasaki came off the vehicle after hitting a curb. No other vehicles were involved.
And what do we know so far about the motorcyclist?
Police have told us he was 22 and died at the scene. His family have also been informed about what happened.
And what have you heard from police, Lucy?
Well, the Serious Collision Investigation Unit are leading inquiries into what happened. They're keen to hear from anyone who was in the area at the time and may have dashcam footage that could help with their investigation. Witnesses can also provide information by contacting Kent Police on 01622 798 538 and quoting reference HW/JM/056/.
Lucy, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a girl and two boys have been charged with murdering a man at a beach on Sheppey. The teenagers were arrested in Laysdown. Dan's got more for the podcast.
Well, Nicola, more details have emerged about the case today, including the identity of the alleged victim. Police say they were called to reports of an attack after a disturbance involving a small group of people in the Warden Bay Road area near Jetty Road shortly after 7 p.m. on Sunday. A man had suffered multiple injuries and died at the scene. He's now been named as 49-year-old Alexander Cashford. A 16-year-old girl and two boys aged 14 and 15 were arrested close to the area of the alleged assault shortly after he was discovered. They've now been charged with murder by joint venture and have appeared at Medway Magistrates Court. We're not allowed to name the suspects because of their age, but detectives have confirmed they're all from London. A 12-year-old girl who was arrested in Basildon yesterday in connection with the incident remains in custody while investigations continue. Officers are continuing to appeal for any witnesses they haven't already spoken to come forward. They're also keen to hear from anyone with relevant CCTV or dashcam footage. You can contact Kent Police directly or report it anonymously through Crime Stoppers.
The sentence handed to a man found guilty of murdering his baby daughter in Ramsgate is to be reviewed by the Court of Appeal. 25-year-old Thomas Holford was convicted last month of killing little Everly Stroud and told he'll serve a minimum of 16 years. Well, the tariff has been referred by the Attorney General's office as being unduly lenient. A man's body has been discovered in a river following a large emergency response in Maidstone. Police were called to reports of a person in the water near Bishop's Way on Monday night. A man in his 30s was confirmed dead and his family's been told it's not being treated as suspicious. A man's appeared in court following an alleged knife attack in Edenbridge. A victim was taken to hospital with a stab wound to the head after a fight broke out on Station Road last Friday. A 20-year-old from the town has been bailed until another hearing in September. Figures now seen by the Kent Online podcast show more animals are being attacked with weapons in Kent than anywhere else in England. 32 cases were reported to the RSPCA between 2022 and 2024. Now, the charity has also seen a 30% rise in air guns being used to target cats across the county. David Bowles is from the charity. He's told us catapults are also an issue.
It's something that we have come across in the last couple of years. Not really sure why they're starting. The RSPCA has usually seen people using air rifles to target particularly birds, but also sometimes cats going into people's gardens. I think it's because catapults are readily available. There are very few rules about buying catapults. There are very few age restrictions about buying catapults. And yeah, we are seeing an increase in those. And obviously that involves deliberate animal cruelty because we're seeing them being used against not just animals such as swans and ducks in parks, but also people's domestic animals such as cats.
Meantime, a Kent man who's among the first to be charged under new pet napping laws has told a court he abducted a cat to protect his own animals. Tim Armstrong says he thought it was feral and it was agitating his own cats, so he dumped it in a lay-by 5 miles from his home in Mepham. Despite an appeal, the animal was never found. The 59-year-old from Nash Street has been ordered to pay compensation and do 40 hours of unpaid work.
Kent Online reports.
A man and a woman have been arrested after a motorcyclist died in a crash in Herne Bay. The Yamaha he was riding was involved in a collision near the junction with Terminus Drive 10 days ago. A woman in her 20s and a man in his 40s have been questioned by police. French authorities say a woman has died while trying to cross the Channel to Kent. She was attempting to board a small boat at Dunkirk when it happened on Monday evening. It comes as figures outshow more than 50,000 asylum seekers have made the dangerous journey since Labour came into power. A Kent MP has welcomed news. North Kent College is to become a technical excellence college for construction. The government's announced a £100 million investment programme to train a workforce for the future. Now, the site will help train 40,000 workers over the next 4 years. I've been chatting to Jim Dixon, who represents Dartford.
The government is investing, as we know, a very large amount in new homes and in infrastructure, so roads and bridges and tunnels and those sorts of things. So it makes absolute sense that we make sure we've got a workforce in Kent, but also across the southeast, that's ready to make sure that we can build out all that new capacity in the economy, that we've got the electricians, carpenters, plumbers, roofers, bricklayers that we need to build all that infrastructure. And so it's brilliant that North Kent College is going to be the epicentre of that work in the southeast to train up a new generation of people who can build all that new infrastructure, create wealth for our local economy, but also, really importantly, great futures and great prospects for our young people in Kent.
And the Minister was saying earlier that these jobs are already needed. There is a shortfall already. So it seems that employment is going to be readily available for these young people.
Completely. And obviously, as people know, we've got the Lower Thames Crossing about to start in the estuary in North Kent and South Essex. That's a £9 billion project, the largest new construction project anywhere in the country. And it makes perfect sense to have our young people trained up to do that work. And obviously, after that big project's completed, there's going to be lots of other new housing and infrastructure projects for them to work on. So I think it creates a great future for those young people, as well as being a new model. We don't bring in those trades from outside the area and outside the country. We actually grow our own, and we make sure our enthusiastic and talented young people can get those jobs with the skills they'll have acquired through the new college.
We keep hearing, Jim, how AI is taking over on so many roles, but I guess even AI can't build a tunnel under the Thames or all of the houses we need. So how crucial do you think this training will be moving forward as the tech sector develops?
Well, as people keep saying, you're absolutely right. You know, the job of a solicitor or the job of even a journalist, if I may say so, in 10 years' time, who knows what that may consist of with the influence of AI. But we're going to need plumbers, we're going to need carpenters, we're definitely going to need roofers and bricklayers and electricians. So I think these are jobs both for now but for the future. I think they're future proof. It's great that we got the opportunity now to get our young people invested in those skills so they can be the workforce that delivers this new infrastructure and these new homes, free of AI, exactly.
Kent Online reports.
A fundraiser has been launched for a Riverside memorial near Rochester for a 7-year-old girl who died from brain cancer. Sophia LeBron-Healy from Horling was diagnosed with a rare tumour in November 2023 and passed away in March this year. Well, her parents are aiming to raise £30,000 for a carved wooden throne near the old Bishop's Palace. Alice is Sophia's mum and has been explaining why they've chosen the location.
So this was Sophia's favourite place. So this is somewhere that she would love to run down to as quickly as she could after school. She was at Horling Primary. And she would shoot down along the river with about 50 or 60 other students from Horling Primary. And they would spend a good hour with mums and dads as well, running around this area here. And as you can see, it's a beautiful location, gorgeous river, and they tend to fight over that wonderful Tyre swing. So this, to us, would seem like the perfect spot for a lasting tribute to our beautiful Sophia.
You can see the site, and you can also find a link to the fundraising page within the story at Kent Online. A Canterbury man who attacked his girlfriend has avoided being sent to prison after she asked the judge not to jail him. Luke Westcott became violent on two occasions and lied about it to police. The 32-year-old from Whitstable Road has been given a suspended sentence and a restraining order instead. He'll also have to do 175 hours of unpaid work. Members of an organised crime gang who targeted people withdrawing cash from banks in north and west Kent have been jailed. A court heard they distracted victims who'd taken out money from branches in Chatham, Dartford, Gravesend and Sevenoaks between October 2024 and the following February. The five have been locked up for a total of more than 14 and a half years.
Kent Online News.
Now, a Kent Food Bank has thanked all of you who donated to the Tons of Tins campaign on our sister radio station, KMFM. More than £11,000 has been raised to restock supplies at 16 charities and organisations across the county this summer. We've been along to chat to Maya, who runs a community centre in Herne Bay.
At the moment, a lot of kids are struggling. Holidays, a lot of kids go hungry. Parents have to choose between eating themselves or feeding kids. And in a few weeks, they're going to choose between buying a uniform or feeding kids. This is reality. It is hard on the ground. Every day, kids are not eating for days and days and days, and we see them. And parents come here, they don't know what to do. And it's not because they're not working. At the moment, working families are struggling financially. Also, the people who used to donate to the food banks are now became food bank users just because cost of living crisis. It's not their fault. They're not on addiction. They're not nothing. They're just working families who can't afford to put food on a table. When kids don't eat, it's not only about food. Their mental health and physical health is going downhill. All of us is literally one step away from being homeless or being in a food banks. Thank you so much, KMFM, all the group and all the people who donated, even you donated a penny. It makes a massive difference for families on low income. It makes a massive difference for us as a food bank because it's difficult on the ground because you see them, they come to you and ask for food. And you, if you're not able to give that food to them, it's just devastating. You don't know what to do. You just don't have it to give it. But campaigns like this, I think it's going to be more, it has to be more of them. We have to come together to support each other. Only by uniting at the moment, we can go through the cost of living, removing all the politics, everything happening in this world. Only people like us, like you, if we all come together, that's the way out.
Well, deliveries are going to continue throughout this week and we'll reveal the overall number of tons donated in Friday's episode of the podcast. It's feared developers may have underestimated how much money is needed to upgrade roads around a new housing estate near Sittingbourne. £213 million has been set aside for highways work by the people behind plans for more than 8,000 homes at Heisted Park. Council bosses reckon it'll cost about £150 million. On top of that, though, a public inquiry into the scheme is ongoing. A nursery in Whitstable has been made homeless after the church hall they used closed without warning. St Andrew's Preschool on Grimshill Road is rated outstanding by Ofsted. Bosses say they've had to close the building because of fire safety concerns and they're actively searching for another venue. Meantime, a Kent church that's undergoing a multi-million pound restoration is due to reopen for the first time in 7 months. A number of celebrities backed a campaign to upgrade the 12th century St Mildred's in Tenterden so it can host concerts, exhibitions and conferences. It closed in January for a new stone floor to be installed and will welcome back the congregation on Sunday. And finally, a couple who've spent the last 3.5 years living and travelling across the Australian outback say they don't miss having a home in Kent. Denise and Gary Davis took a spontaneous trip abroad but never returned and eventually sold all of their belongings and bought a caravan. Well, the couple have been married for 21 years after meeting at the Casino Rooms in Rochester. They've been chatting to reporter Charlotte Phillips.
We've always both been very much into travel and adventure, and obviously then we met each other, and then we wanted to go off and do something else.
It was a bit of a whim, wasn't it?
We locked our house up and we flew to Bali 17 and a half hours with nowhere to stay, just turned up in Bali, did 2 months in Bali, travelling around on mopeds, climbing mountains, backpacking all around Bali for 2 months.
Then we got back and we thought, what can we do next? So then 2003, we actually got chatting to this guy in Bali that told, it's all about people you meet when you're travelling. He told us about his brother teaching English as a foreign language in Bangkok. So we got back from Bali and looked up the course straight away, 6 week course in Bangkok, and thought, we'll do that. So we, the following year, we flew there, didn't we?
Flew to Bali, did a course in Bangkok. Flew to Bangkok, did the course in Bangkok. Lived it above some dodgy places, didn't we, to start with when we was there. And, yeah, and then we managed to, we had jobs after 2 weeks, didn't we, but we finished the course first. And then they come and picked us up in a, like a minivan, took us to three different accommodations. We picked the one we liked. And we went and lived there for
six months teaching
in Bangkok.
And then we bummed around the islands down south for 3 months and backpacking.
Did all the full moon parties at Hadrin and Koh Phangan, all that sort of thing.
And that led us to meeting this Aussie couple who told us about Australia, didn't they?
And we had about 2 weeks with this couple, and we did all this adventurous stuff like kayaking up rivers and through tunnels. And, we did a bit of like potholing, didn't we?
Yeah.
In Koh Lanta, climbing through caves. They had like swimming pools down the bottom of these caves. No one there, it's only us, and we just jumped in, and it was fantastic. And they said to us, do you want to come back to Australia for Christmas? And we was like, we're running out of money. We had been there 9 months. We thought we'd better go back and earn some money. So we flew back here, and I couldn't get a working visa. I was going to go for 12 months, but I couldn't get it. But we went to a seminar in Earls Court. And they said, because of my job, it's on the skills and demand list, you can go to Australia as a permanent resident.
We'd never been there before.
Never been there, never set foot in Australia.
And we thought, well, what's the worst that can happen? If you don't like it, you just get on a plane and fly home.
So we shipped some bits and pieces over, not our furniture. We sold all our furniture, rented our house out, and went off to Australia. And it was like a big move.
It was like, you're mad.
You're off. Yeah, you're crazy. We went, no, let's just go for it. If you don't like it, give it 2 or 3 years, you come home. So, and it's just worked out. Been there 19 years now.
Kent Online Sports.
Football First Up and Gillingham have been knocked out in the first round of the Carabao Cup. They lost to AFC Wimbledon at Priestfield last night. The game actually finished 1-1 and was taken to penalties after an 83rd minute equaliser by Gills player Ethan Coleman, but they lost 4-2 on spot kicks. Gillingham manager Gareth Ainsworth says there are still plenty of positives to take away though.
The momentum in the second half was incredible. You know, how we haven't scored more, and we hit the bar, we've done everything but score in that second half. But I mean, first half we created some good stuff. We had chances, we had a one-on-one, we had some set pieces that we should have been better at. We let ourselves down a little bit with a mistake, and that's cost us, and that's really good because I can work on that. And that's, it's not like no team is carving us apart, no team's like playing around us and carving us to bits. We are solid. It's our own little mistakes that have cost that goal in the first half. But apart from that, I'm picking, I'm really picking problems, at being very picky in the game, because I can't see much going wrong, you know. I've got some huge positives today, huge positives. The people who are here today, please spread the word, because that second half performance, and not just that, because you don't want to disrespect anyone in the first half, the whole thing, the momentum that we had going, there was only one team going to win, you know, there's one team playing for penalties at the end, the League One side, they're slowing the game down, panicking. And the only way they thought they could beat us was by penalties. And they did. And fair play to you. A little bit of help from a referee's decision where he said that Jake's dived off his line to save a penalty. I'd urge him to have a look at the two that they saved. I think the keeper wasn't totally on his line. But listen, I don't want to get in trouble with any of that sort of stuff. I am so, so proud of my boys today. So proud. And the fans got right behind us. I think they felt it coming. What a great header from Ethan. And you know, some standout performances for me. I don't like going into detail, and I won't do it. It's not, you know, I've got all their backs. I told them in the penalty shootout, no matter what happens, guys, I've got your back. You know, we win and lose together. For me, we haven't lost a game today. We've lost the penalty shootout, and the game was a draw, and rightly so. I think we could have gone on. I don't like extra time in this, but I think if you'd have gone to extra time, there's only one winner. Proud of the boys, and we'll go again. You know, just Shad coming off with a knock might be something we have to look at. other than that, I thought the subs made a good impact, the starters made good impacts, and yeah, really, the crowd made a brilliant impact.
And we can hear now from goal scorer Ethan Coleman, who chatted to reporters after the match.
You've got to take the positives from every game, whether win, lose, draw. I think we did well. I think we were the better team, especially towards the end. We were staying high, really putting pressure on their back line, and we could have come out with a result in the 90. So, yeah, disappointing, but go again.
Talk me through the goal. I think it was Clarkie's cross. I actually thought Andy Smith had got the last touch, but it was you. Just talk me through that.
No, yeah, Clarkie whipped it in, and literally just before the corner came in, we stayed around the 6-yard line area, and we just wanted to make it a massive scrap. Luckily, I can't really remember it too well, but I think I just got up in between two defenders and nodded it down, and I'm very pleased.
I thought we'd gone to win it in normal time. Yeah. The momentum seemed to be with us with terms of possession in the closing stages, but it did go to penalties, and of course then it's just a lottery, isn't it?
It is. It's always a lottery when it's penalties. You can't do anything about that. We just got to take, like I said, we've got to take the positives from the 90 that we had. You can't overthink penalties. It's just one of them things.
Elsewhere, League Two side Bromley caused a huge upset. They knocked out Championship side Ipswich after their game also went to penalties. And in cricket, Kent are in One Day Cup action today. The Spitfires are taking on Warwickshire at Rugby School. It follows their 7-wicket defeat against Durham at Beckenham on Sunday. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the site, you can also sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. And if you use the promo code Nicola Everett, or one word at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.